You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the great tasting protein bars covered in chocolate. Get $10 off your first box right now at BuiltBar.com. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends. And with me is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, it was the first Memorial Day without baseball since 1880. How did you handle it?
Yeah, I am as happy to hear you say that as you were to see somebody tweet that earlier. It's a bummer. Memorial Day obviously is about more important things than baseball, but in practice it's also a lot about baseball. I have a lot of Memorial Day memories that are tied to the Dodgers and baseball in general. And today, Monday, it was a different Memorial Day. Partly because the world is different, but also partly because there was no baseball to watch or even have on in the background while I'm grilling burgers or whatever. I didn't like it, and I wouldn't recommend doing it again.
Yeah, that tweet was definitely one where if I had to hear or see it, I'd want to put it out there for everyone else to hear, see it. But yeah, it was weird. And, you know, typically in recent years, the Dodgers have done the Dollar Dodger Dog promotion on Memorial Day and Labor Day. So, you know, that wasn't a part of the plan or schedule this year, thanks to everything going on. But we made it through, and we're continuing to push on, and we're continuing to talk Dodgers. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to get into a little bit of roster talk. With the expanded roster and the taxi squad that are in the proposal for the potential season. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So this topic was spurred by a question from our listener, Rob, at Rock 51, R-O-C 51. He wanted to know who would make the expanded 30-man roster and who is on the 20-man taxi squad that was in the proposal for the 2020 season. You know, we're not going to get into Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, Clayton Kershaw talk because we know those guys would be part of the roster. But we'll talk about some guys that stand to benefit from this season specifically. Obviously, there will be a lot of minor leaguers and players that won't benefit from it, but we'll stick to the ones that would benefit from it on the Dodgers' perspective. So, Jeff, there's a lot of places to start, but I'll let you decide and kick us off.
Yeah, we probably won't even get to anywhere near the 25 guys who might fill these spots, but, you know, there's a lot to think about. The two categories that I think are going to be the biggest, be impacted the most, I guess, would be pitchers, because I feel like you're going to want to have plenty of pitchers available. And then guys who need playing time. And it's weird because there's, you know, looks like there's not going to be any minor league baseball. And I don't know exactly if guys who aren't on the taxi squad, what they're, you know, what they will be doing, if they'll be able to be at Camelback Ranch in Arizona working out. I mean, there's obviously not room to do a ton unless they just literally do a 3-month spring training thing, and that would get old, especially if they try not to pay them like they don't pay them during spring training. But, you know, that's getting off topic, I guess. But, you know, a guy that jumps out is a guy like Keibert Ruiz, who is one of their top prospects, not major league ready yet, but he needs to be developing, and it seems like that's probably on the taxi squad. And, you know, if they have a 30-man roster, you definitely expect them to carry a third catcher, probably. That could be Rocky Gale, who doesn't bring anything to the table offensively, but is solid defensively. It could be bringing a guy like Russell Martin back, or it could be Kibert Ruiz and just saying, okay, you're a big leaguer, and we're going to get you some at-bats. I don't know that. So Kibert is one that really intrigues me. Maybe I'll talk about a couple of pitchers that intrigue me too in a minute, but I'll let you talk for a minute.
Yeah, Kibert's probably one of the bigger ones. He probably wasn't set to get any MLB exposure this year, maybe September call-up, but Will Smith and Austin Barnes would have been pretty dang bad, and Kieber would have had to been doing really, really good in order for that to be any thought. So he's definitely one that stands from it. I'm interested, is, you know, to kind of see how they structure this, or how, you know, is the 40-man roster, anyone on the 40-man roster automatically a part of the taxi squad if they're not on the you know, active roster, or how all that's going to work. I mean, right off the bat, depending on how it goes, you know, guys like Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin, who are maybe slated to get some time in the minors, would be able to hang out a little more on the major league side and work on their, you know, it's already a shortened season, so they're not going to throw as many innings as they would have normally. So they, you know, might get potentially more looks, either bullpen or swing man or setup man, or, you know, whatever it would be. So guys like that right off the bat jump out to me. Like I said, Kaber would jump out. Guys like Edwin Rios, who would probably going to be a guy that goes up and down a lot, is going to benefit from it. And a guy like DJ Peters, who, you know, we've kind of mentioned as a 4A type player potentially, or, you know, not a Dodgers type guy, at least with outfield that they were building with Bellinger and presumably Betts for the future and whoever else. But, you know, a guy like that who can come in and mash some baseballs and maybe get a little bit of attention. So a lot of those guys that were right on the fringe of being maybe probably major leaguers on different teams, but, you know, not quite enough to knock the depth of the Dodgers are going to stand to benefit from this.
Yeah, the Dodgers bullpen depth seems like would be a big beneficiary of this. Like you said, guys like Gonsolin and May, who probably weren't going to crack the rotation, there definitely would have been a question to answer there. Well, maybe some of those extra roster spots just go to them. I was looking at Oklahoma City's stats from last year. And one thing I noticed is that I noticed the PCL, and it's notoriously a high offense league. And I don't know what, I don't have like league stats. There's no ERA plus or anything. So these aren't adjusted for the league, but, just to guess, Vince, if I told you that there were 14 guys who pitched at least 35 innings for Oklahoma City last year, how many of those 14 would you guess had an ERA below 4.3?
Out of 14, I don't know, 5?
Zero. Daniel Corsino threw the most innings for them. He had a 4.90 ERA, and that was actually really good. You got to get down to number 8, Josh Spores, before you get back into the fours. You have Rob Zestrizny, 6.49. Dennis Santana, 6.94. Brock Stewart, 7.34. Mitchell White, 6.5. Kevin Quackenbush, 5.06. Justin DeFreitas, 6.71. Like, I mean, so you've got some of these prospects, but, you know, maybe it's just that, you know, an off season, because you got guys like May and Gonsolin who made it to the big league, so they didn't spend as much time in AAA. And then you have guys like Josiah Gray and some of the other guys who were not quite to AAA yet. But there's not a lot of guys pounding on the door in AAA saying, I deserve a spot in your bullpen. And so, you know, when I think about minor league pitchers, I do go to some of those guys like Josiah Gray, you know, Mitchell White, obviously, even though he was on that list of being lousy in AAA last year, he was better in AA, and, you know, he is a prospect, and so he's a guy.
Yeah, we'll come back and get into the rest of it, but real quick, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is great tasting protein bar. We've told you all of that stuff. We've told you everything. But, you know, like I said, let's just get into one. So the peanut butter brownie, which Jeff was a fan of. I was a fan of, not quite as good as the just straight peanut butter one. But regardless, you get 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. Very hard to beat those numbers with any protein bar. And on top of that, it tastes like a peanut butter brownie. And other than that, you know, Built Bars has added some new flavors. There is peanut butter banana, pineapple upside down cake, coconut pecan pie, and blueberry lemon. So there's new flavors, putting it up to about around 20 flavors now that you can get. And right now you can get $10 off your first box at BuiltBar.com with the promo code Locked On. And this week only, you can get an extra $5 off every box of bars in addition to the $10 off promo code. So that's BuiltBar.com, promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your first order. And after you order your Built Bar, go ahead and get an order of an audiobook. 24 Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid, and reflective and inspirational memoir of the legendary Willie Mays, where he shares a bunch of stuff that guided him in and on and off the field as he became one of the greatest all-around players in baseball history. This book offers people of all ages his lifetime experience, meeting challenges with positivity, integrity, and triumph. There's a bonus conversation with Willie Mays and his co-author John Shea in the special audio book production, which also has a foreword read by Bob Costas. And if you're just a fan of Willie Mays, a fan of baseball, looking for a Father's Day gift, or just want to get read about something or listen about something inspirational, buy the audiobook edition of 24 now, wherever audiobooks are sold. And keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, so we told you guys yesterday the Locked On theme this week was Time Machine. The first year they wanted us to do was 1990, so Jeff found an obscure former Dodger from 1990. This year, the year was 2000, so I went to look at the 2000 Dodgers, who won 86 games, finished second in the NL West, had some good players that we've talked about for not being obscure, a few that we've talked about for being obscure. But the one I found, I remember the name more than anything, probably because it's unique, and that's Onan Masaoka. Onan Masaoka pitched for the Dodgers in 2000, 29 games, 27 innings, an ERA of 4. He pitched at the age of 22. His major league debut came in 99, and he pitched 54 games that year for a 4.32 ERA. He was drafted in 1995 in the third round by the Dodgers out of Hawaii. And after the 2000 season, he never pitched again in the majors. He went and pitched in a couple independent leagues, went back to Hawaii to pitch in an independent league out there. The Dodgers did trade him in 2001. I don't remember much about him other than the name. But yeah, that's pretty much the definition of obscure on this podcast. So, Jeff, you got anything on Onan Masaoka?
Yes, I have never heard that name before. Yeah, 2000 was a weird time for me. I was in college, and in Utah, I didn't get many Dodger games. And so I remember some guys who played in the 2000 Dodgers, but I have never heard of that guy. I did think it's interesting that the 2000 Dodgers and the 1990 Dodgers both went 86 and 76 and finished second in their division.
All right, Jeff, before we talked about Built Bar, you were getting a little bit into some pitchers, just kind of round out that thought.
So yeah, guys like Josiah Gray, Leo Crawford, even Marshall Kosowski, guys who, you know, probably weren't super likely to get big league playing time in 2020 under normal circumstances. Jordan Sheffield, another one, you know, some of those guys might see some time on the taxi squad. And, if they're really swapping back and forth pretty regularly, they might get some real big league playing time, especially if, you know, whether there's injuries or illness. We have no idea how much these taxi squads are going to be used, but it might actually end up being a pretty cool opportunity for some of these guys.
Yeah, it's very, very possible that the taxi squads see a lot of playing time. It's very possible that they see none. I'm not quite sure how, you know, they're going to be able to, if rotate or, you know, if it's the injured list is going to be the same, whatever it is. But, a lot of those names that you mentioned will get some playing time. Going back to you know, the other side on the position players, you know, we talked about Kaber. We talked about, I mentioned Edwin Rios. That's one where, you know, he might be on that active roster, depending how many extra pitchers they take. And he might benefit from a start every so often against right-handed pitching. You know, a guy like Zach McKinstry, who we've talked about a little bit. Same thing, you know, against a couple starts here and there against some right-handed pitching, possibly. Although the Dodgers are full of lefties, so I'm not sure he cracks that lineup necessarily. But yeah, the other guys on the 40-man roster are DJ Peters, Luke Raley. I'm not sure Luke Raley would be on an active roster. He'd probably be maybe part of the taxi squad. But a guy like DJ Peters could sneak his way. He would still probably need some injuries to get onto the active roster. But, you know, once he gets there, if A.J. Pollock struggles right off the bat, or if A.J. Pollock, you know, hate to say it, gets hurt, as he has been prone to do in previous years, that's a spot where T.J. Peters might be able to get in there, just because of the DH, because guys like Chris Taylor or Kike or whoever else will be able to fill different roles. You know, T.J. Peters might get into filling that role. You know, at least early on, we'll see if guys... For the most part, guys have probably been staying in shape, but they might, you know, not have their legs fully quite under them. They might not, the spring training, you know, might be a little bit abbreviated, so there might be more rotation going on. So it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out and how it all shakes out. But it's good and bad. You know, there's some good where we're going to see some guys we probably wouldn't have seen just based on the circumstances. And when stuff like that happens is when you get, you know, surprises that we've seen in previous years where guys have gotten opportunities and kind of took it and ran with it. So that'll be probably one of the stories of the Dodgers if there is baseball in 2020. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, who kind of steps up and assumes that role.
Yeah, you know, Cactus League MVP Cody Thomas is another name that we haven't mentioned. You know, I am interested to see how real he is, because he did apparently have a swing change that he's been working on. So, you know, you can't just look at the fact that he's never actually been good in the minor leagues and assume that he won't be good, because, you know, we've seen what Dodger swing changes can do. You know, but still, you know, Thomas, Peters, McKinstry, those guys are, it's hard to see them cracking the 30-man roster, because, I mean, our 25-man roster, even, you know, like you said, Edwin Rios and or Matt Beatty, we're going to be fighting for a roster spot. And those are guys who contributed at the major league level last year. And so unless there's injuries, especially when you figure they're going to want to grab a couple more pitchers, the 30-man roster doesn't open up a ton of position player spots. If they take a third catcher and three pitchers, that, you know, and Edwin Rios, that basically fills it up. And so maybe they only do two extra pitchers and maybe make room for a guy like McKinstry or Peters or something. But seems like the taxi squad is where a lot of these opportunities are going to come from, just because the Dodgers are so stacked at the top with guys who have major league experience.
Yeah. One thing that just came to mind, and, you know, different from what we've previously seen, different from 162 game season, where, you know, Dave Roberts, they've kind of let guys kind of try to find themselves, Chris Taylor last year and some other guys previous years, in an 82 game season or whatever it is, 80 to 82 game season, in that kind of sprint, do you think, you know, they're going to let guys know, like, hey, we're less likely to kind of ride it out, because if there's other guys producing, we kind of need them in there because we need to win as many games as possible in a shorter season?
Yeah, you know, that's possible. We've seen it. Last year it was Chris Taylor. The year before that was Jock Peterson, who just kept getting at bats even though they were terrible. And the phrase Dave Roberts always uses is keep him relevant. And it worked out in both cases. You know, they snuck up. And so I think a lot of it will come down to how the team is doing overall, because I think if the team is not struggling, I think Roberts is still just as likely to stick with a struggling individual player if he really thinks there's a breakout coming. But yeah, I mean, if the Dodgers are in second place and somebody's just not hitting, you know, yeah, it might be bench time for that person, even if the person is used to being an everyday player, because there isn't any room for error. Although with extra playoff spots, that mitigates that a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Is, you know, not to throw Pollock out there again, but Pollock last year, you know, he had a strong second half, not as quiet in the first half. He got hurt. You know, come playoff time, obviously we know what happened. But yeah, Chris Taylor, you know, if he's not hitting early on, I'm not quite sure how the taxi squad is going to work. But if they're, you know, demotions, promotions, you could see a guy like I wonder. Like I said, obviously if the team's winning, the leash is a little longer. But if the team is struggling and it's a, you know, more of a well-known guy, obviously not a Cody Bellinger or Mookie Betts type, but maybe, you know, either Kike, a Pollock, or someone like that, you know, what the leash would be to send them down and try to bring someone up and see if they can spark in a different direction. Because, you know, like I say, 82 game season is definitely way faster. It's like if you're the college, the quarter system and the semester system. I love being in the semester system because I could fail the first test and still get an A in the class, depending on most classes were like that. So I wouldn't even buy the book until after the first test of the semester. But if you're in a quarter system, you have very little room for error, and you can't, you have to buy the book right away and not wait for the first test.
Oh, we're learning so much about you as a student. But that's all right. I took 19 years to graduate from college, so I guess you were still better than me.
Hey, baby steps.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else who we should have mentioned that we haven't. You know, when I'm looking through this Oklahoma City roster, AAA is an interesting place because there's a lot of guys. I mean, the guy who got the most plate appearances for Oklahoma City last year was Connor Joe, who has played a little tiny bit in the big leagues in his career, never for the Dodgers. And, you know, and he was really good with Oklahoma City last year, but isn't what anybody expects to ever be. Really a major league player. Yeah,
the one that I'm looking at right here is a guy we talked about before, and I don't know, I don't think the thought process would be that different, but like Terrence Gore, you know, would he be a guy that they kind of keep and maybe as that last guy on the roster specifically for base running reasons?
Terrence Gore is absolute somebody I could see getting that 30th spot on the roster. I was thinking about him the other day, and I'm glad you brought him up because I had forgotten about him again. I mean, I think a designated pinch runner is kind of the perfect way to use that 30th roster spot sometimes. If, you know, it would have to be at the expense of a pitcher probably, because I don't think you're going to want to put yourself at a disadvantage of actually having a hitter off the bat or off the bench. But, if you had a guy like Gore who comes in, he's not just fast, he's a great base stealer, like percentage-wise. He is a good base runner, not just speedy. He's no Herb Washington, but he is a great base runner, and that has a lot of value when you can pick and choose where to use it. And so, yeah, I could definitely see Terrence Gore making that 30-man roster when, like you said, it's a shorter season, every game counts, and so... Oh, you get a leadoff walk in the ninth inning in a tie game. Okay, put Terrence Gore in. You've got the you don't need to sacrifice bunt, which is good because sacrifice bunts suck. He can steal second, and then you put the ball in play. He's on third base. You put the ball in play again. You win the game, and so Terrence Gore absolutely I think has a chance to make that roster.
Yeah, I can definitely see the Dodgers implementing that or using that, like, because. Kind of like we said, with the DH spot, that's kind of a rotation into a day off. And then that on top of the already rotation with some guys in platoon roles and just a normal day off here and there, that last position player spot becomes a little more expendable to what you do with it. And, yeah, like I said, a guy like Terrence Gore who can change the game, maybe not change a lot of games, but change some big games late in the game just with that speed.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, Terrence Gore by himself will never be a three-win player according to WAR, but you could absolutely see him helping the Dodgers win three games that they otherwise might not have. and just with his speed. And with the Dodgers having so many guys who can play multiple positions, that helps a lot because it doesn't matter who it is that gets on base. You can pinch run for them. You know, if it's, you know, Justin Turner, obviously Turner, a great hitter, solid defender, not much of a base runner. So you can throw Terrence Gore in there and you have guys who can play third base. If it's Matt Beatty, you have guys who can play wherever Beatty's playing, you know, and the guys, you know, Chris Taylor, obviously you wouldn't pinch run for Chris Taylor or Cody Bellinger. But that's okay because, you know, you don't need to, but, you know, the Dodgers' positional flexibility definitely makes a guy like Gore more attractive to them than he might be to another team.
Yep. All right, Jeff, I think we ran down through most of the big names. Before we head out, anybody you think we left off or should get a little more airtime?
No, not really. I mean, Jose Lobatone might be, you know, he might be on the taxi squad in case another catcher gets hurt, you know, guys like that. But they're not going to have a big impact on the team, even if, you know, you're going to have guys on the taxi squad that, you know, I bet there will be one or two guys on that taxi squad that even you and I, the Dodger experts, will say, wait, who? And that's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah, especially with the Dodgers and what they, how they evaluate talent. So, all right, that will do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for sticking with us. Even though there is no Dodgers baseball currently, we're still here to talk about it with you. Make sure you subscribe and download and listen every day. Make sure you tell your friends and family. Make sure you rate and review us on Apple or if your favorite podcast app has a rate and review. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so. Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. There are other ways to contact us are via call or text at 323-863-LOCK or email lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!